Dunkin' Cold K cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Okay. God, I love saying that. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker. Just brew over ice and sip in seconds. Bold, smooth Dunkin'. Taste you know and love. Find Dunkin' Cold Coffee in the roasted coffee aisle. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Now ADT professionally installs Google Nest products so your home is safe and smart. Google Nest cams can tell the difference between a person, an animal, and a vehicle. Mm. Or with Nest Doorbell, even a package. I can't tell the difference between those things. That's incredible. And with Nest Aware as part of your monthly ADT service, you get 30 days of event video history. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC.
Hi, my name is Questlove.
I love that your name still cracks you up after all these years.
Okay. being as though this podcast saved my life during the pandemic. I've heard every adjective used to describe how does one want to be friends with Conan. However, before I give the adjective, yes, I'm already going to break Jeff Goldblum's record.
Yes! But, go for it!
But as a creator and a creator that relies on an editor, I want to know who's the person that has to extend Jack White's padding foot.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
right
that's
now.
That's an added was, kick drum.
So, no. You're going to do the extended 12
I'm just going to loop it.
Wait.
You're going to hear Jack's foot get tired and slow down and lose the beat. Keep going, Jack.
Oh, God.
We got to get Questlove to the finish line.
Wait. By the time I got to the Goldblum episode, I was like, wait a minute. Did he call up Jack to custom make extra feet? And then I realized it's only when I became a nightmare to my own editor that I realized that you're going to have to figure out how many measures of four are you going to end.
Yep. I'm just going to put a kick drum mallet on a metronome next to a kick drum and then go take a nap.
I love how we're talking how long it's going.
As it's going.
That's right.
Can we just do the entire podcast?
This is going to be.
Oh, my God.
Go for it.
That's a first?
I had so many adjectives to use. I'm just going to go simple, which, of course, none of this is simple. I'm fine with it. However,
all that for I'm fine with it?
Beautiful.
No. I'm fucking fine with it?
No, but this is the thing.
That's how I feel about a colonoscopy. Like, I'm fine with it. It gets the job done. I don't want it.
But here's the thing. I was initially chagrined and angered that you guys dared pitch me to do this podcast without Matt or Son. Like, literally.
Oh.
You're kind of like Charlie Brown. Like, not saying, like, you're not the star of your own Halloween special.
Got it.
You know.
You want the full experience.
Yes.
And you want to make sure that
yes.
Pigpen.
Okay.
And the girl with red hair are there. I'm sorry.
Frida?
I think what he's saying is...
Wait, you're Frida? How
am
did
I
you
Frida?
Wait, time out.
I wanted to minimize them as much
Why
as I could.
Why the red hair? Which one is she?
Because no one knows her name.
Which one's the one that always pushes... Is that Lucy?
Lucy.
That
Lucy.
Always
Lucy Van
name?
Pelt?
Yeah, you're very much Lucy to his, Charlie.
Yeah, she has a last name. Lucy Van Pelt.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How do you know that?
Well, because she is the brother of Linus Van Pelt.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, Lucy Van Pelt. I have a knack for attracting a lot of Lucy Van Pelts in my life.
Oh.
Like proverbial football.
Tugging.
Bruiser.
Just real quick, are we still in the intro?
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. All right. I'm fine with it. And
cue music.
Yeah, cue music.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I'm feeling good.
Must be nice.
It is nice. It's nice to feel good. Why, you're not feeling good, Matt?
No, I am. I am feeling good.
Really? Yeah. No, I feel, but I still feel better than you. I know I do.
How do you know? You can't quantify that. You can't see in my brain.
Just, I can. I just feel like.
Fight, 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 fight.
You want us to fight? No, we're not going to fight about this. I just feel very good. I feel like I'm reaching some kind of peak in my life.
I think you are feeling better than me because you've got your collar open more than I have, and that's the sign of a happy person.
I'm going to even go down a button.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Look at that right there.
We've got about the same amount of chest hair.
I was going to say, do you guys have chest hair?
Well, I took care of my chest hair for a reason.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Poor.
Just the other day.
Oh. You mean took care of it? You like assassinated
it? I shaved my chest hair.
Why?
Because I'm going to start doing porno.
Oh, right.
Because I found out that, you know, there's a strike going on right now and you're not supposed to be doing any writing. And it's, some of that porno is not Guild covered.
That's the only thing you did to prepare for the porn you're about to shoot?
Yeah. And then it turns out you need to, like, be able to function and stuff. Which I didn't know.
God.
So I shaved my chest and I walked in there and I went, I'm ready to go. And they said, well, can you kind of work yourself up into a state of excitement? I went, I could if it was 1988.
You did shave your chest.
Yeah, I did.
Why?
I'm going to tell you why. I shaved my chest for biking. That's right, biking.
What?
Yeah, biking.
Did you shave any your legs too?
I shaved my entire body.
But you have arm hair.
Yeah, I didn't touch that part.
But you just said you shaved your entire body.
So you entire went full body Popeye? Means to me, entire body means chest and then the whole stomach area.
Okay.
And what's below that? What do you mean?
I call it my nether regions. No, I didn't do that.
The icy delta.
Yeah. I did.
The full thatched roof.
Yeah.
Look, we got to talk about some business here. This is the episode where we have Questlove on.
Yes, we do have to talk about this.
Questlove, is it fair to say a devotee of this podcast?
I didn't know that.
And that's quite humbling, I think.
He's one of those connoisseurs of, well, obviously, seems like one of a hyper cool person.
Absolutely.
And he's always curating music playlists for people and telling people what to listen to. And then it turns out he's, I'll use the word geeky fan for our podcast.
Wonderful.
Which was nice to hear, really nice to hear. And he's a great guy. Love talking to him.
He geeks out so much so that he was aware of how long Jeff Goldblum's second appearance on this show, his "Hi, my name is" friend intro,
yes,
was.
Because most people say, "Hi, my name is, you know, blank." And I'll just throw in, "Hi, my name is Tommy Tuberville." He was a great interview. And
is that a person?
Yes,
he's the
senator.
Right?
He's the senator who's holding up the entire military appointments of our government just so that he can make some point about social justice.
Okay,
something. I didn't explain that well. Yeah, you thought Tommy Tuberville was a children's cartoon character? literally a tuba. Here comes Tommy Tuberville. No, he doesn't. He's trying to make sure that no one can. I mean, you would care about this.
Time
then.
Well
women
spent.
In the military.
Time well spent.
That's good.
This is good.
This is,
well, I'm sorry. I have to explain things to Sona.
He
doesn't want any social issues.
I'm not
like,
getting at you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're mad at me.
You brought him up.
I'm furious.
You brought him up talking about Questlove.
Do you want me to back up and not talk about Tommy Tuberville?
It's too late
now. We have to.
Isn't it also Tuberville?
Well, I thought it was two, and then I listened to a podcast, and they called him Tuberville.
What podcast did you listen to?
It's called Mispronunciations.
Oh, I thought it might be.
No, apparently, I was convinced it was Tuberville, and then I've heard several things where they call him Tuberville.
Now I'm part of this problem.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys, you're really helping, by the way. Anyway, very controversial senator at the moment, and irritating a lot of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not the point. The point is most people have a quick intro. Hi, my name is Harrison Ford, and I feel shitty about being Conan O'Brien's friend. And then we move on. Questlove came on and was aware that the record is held by
Jeff Goldblum's second appearance.
Jeff Goldblum's second appearance, where Jeff went on and on and on. And it was that for a long time. And then Questlove came in on a mission to defeat Jeff Goldblum's record. And the question is, did he?
No.
Whoa, oh, what?
Wow.
He went on forever.
I agree, but I have it on good authority from our man in the engineering section, Eduardo, that he did not beat him. But that's reason to have Questlove back.
Yes.
And
so that he can beat it.
Well, because Goldblum got two. In fairness, Goldblum got to try one out, and then he came in and he mastered the whole thing.
Yeah, but I'm still shocked because, as you know, Questlove really stretched it out.
Yeah.
To the point that I left.
Yeah.
And I did some welding on a 1966 Volkswagen Beetle.
You also recorded another podcast episode with a totally different guest.
Yeah, and I made a margarita pizza from scratch.
Wow.
And built the oven that I cooked it in, and then came back in and Questlove was still going.
I got a great idea.
What?
Two podiums, two people, two intros,
yes!
Same time.
Yes!
Goldblum, Questlove.
Yes, and third one, Tuberville.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And it's just all him explaining how his name's pronounced.
Yeah.
And why he thinks women shouldn't be allowed to leave, get military leave to take care of their female health issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. And sorry, Tuberville. But
no, don't apologize to him. He can suck it.
Exactly.
Suck what?
Well, guess
he
what?
He can suck my dick.
I wasn't expecting that.
Whoa. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow. We were just gone for 3 weeks and you have a cock? The things, wow. and that comes up now?
It just grew. I don't know how, but it just
grew.
Well,
please tell me.
I thought you were going to say, his shaved little baby arm.
Oh, nice. Please, let's not get that rumor out there. Good
Full
Lord, we
articulating
all
articulating fingers.
No one has big dick energy like Conan O'Brien.
You shaved to be more aerodynamic on a bike?
I'm making this all up.
Oh,
but,
okay.
It was, it's that... And I wanted to be able to ride without a shirt and without pants and have no aerodynamic drag.
Okay, that sounds dangerous.
Wait, so you have no pants on, so you meaning your little guy is flapping in the breeze.
Well, first of all, not a little guy.
Uh-huh.
Quite average to average to B plus. I get a solid B plus A minus.
But isn't that going to cause some drag?
I get a lot of compliments in the past from my girlfriends with glaucoma. Anyway... No, I cut a hole in the seat.
Oh.
So it slides in there. Yeah.
Oh.
And then sometimes when I'm stopped at a light, I just sort of wiggle it around a little bit and it feels fantastic.
What if you get aroused on the way?
Why?
Something?
Well, that's the whole point.
You do a wheelie?
Yeah.
Let's start the episode.
I forgot my kickstand. No problem. Hi, it's...
Oh, my God.
My name's Dick Joke Johnson.
Oh.
That's the kind of stuff you can expect from the witty and urbane Conan O'Brien. let's get into this and let's hear, you got to check this out because I do love this gentleman and you also have to hear his intro.
They already have.
Oh, right. I forgot how the podcast worked.
You never knew how the podcast worked.
I'll listen to it one day. I'm just not a fan of the host.
I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, I do love this guy. My guest today is a Grammy award-winning musician, record producer, and co-founder and drummer of the hip-hop group The Roots. Doesn't he also have an Oscar?
Yeah,
I think he does. Who's doing the research around here? Let's mention his Grammy, but not his Oscar. God, I'm glad I'm on the ball. I'm very excited he's here today. Questlove, welcome. I go to New York occasionally, and when I'm in New York, we get whoever's available in New York. We've been wanting to talk to you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You were available, and then... and this was pitched through someone else. And then I hear, no, he really wants to do it with the whole gang. And I thought,
that's wonderful.
A, mistake.
No.
What?
But
no.
B, fine. I'm fine with that. I'm glad you're
here. I think
what
he's saying is your excuse today, Conan. And
yeah.
We'll handle
it. We'll take it from here.
All right. I'll pipe down.
No, man. It's important, you know?
Yeah. You're fine with being here with me.
I have so many questions for them.
Okay.
And, you know, but.
This is nice.
Well,
yeah, I like that.
Listen, this is when you're on this podcast, it's your podcast. So feel free to ask them anything you want.
But are we really going to be friends?
Yeah.
Okay, because the
do you want that?
I honestly want it. Yes.
Okay, I'm in.
So the transition week of you doing the last of late night.
Yep, taking over the Tonight Show.
Yeah, before we came in, we as in the Fallon people.
Yep,
came to do it. You were like walking in the hallway and whatever, and instantly, you know, like when people feel like they know someone.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a poster on the wall or whatever.
Yep,
like you don't know them, but they feel like they know you. And instantly I was like, oh man, phew, me and Conan are going to get along famously. This is going to be awesome. And then I turned a corner, even though I've been on your show maybe 3 to 4 times.
You've been on 3 times with The Roots.
Yeah. And, but I don't know why I never took into account that you're a giant. Or maybe because maybe I'm sitting behind a drum set.
Yep.
And I didn't take into account how tall you were. And plus, you know, I'm on, that's when being on television was like really like a big deal. So I wasn't in my right mind. Now it's just like, okay, I'll show up. But I saw you walking down the hallway and instantly I just started to shrink like, oh no, he's too tall to be, he's too tall to be my friend.
Oh. So,
you know what's so funny that you say that is, well, you've been with me, Sona. It's the only thing people talk about when I walk around.
Yeah.
I do see, I get that all the time. And people act like I've lied to them. So when I go through like security checkpoints, people are like, hey man, fuck you. I didn't know you were this tall. It's like, I didn't, what did I do?
Well, because you have approachable energy. I'll say that you and leader who should not be named 45 are probably the two of the most...
Wow.
I'm glad you got
this,
that.
Where's this going?
you two have a commonality.
Oh, what are we know.
And it's not hair. It's not hair. It's your...
It's a little bit hair.
Both of you are tall. Like, even he... I didn't know that he was tall.
How tall is he?
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's like 6'4".
Is he really?
No.
Dude, his son, old boy, is like 6'8 already. He's like, what, 12 years old?
His parents, huge.
No. Yeah. But no, Trump is not 6'4". But the thing is, what's that?
6'3".
Yeah, and there's a big difference between 6'3 and 6'4".
6'3 with fluff.
It's an incalculable difference.
When my afro's out, people think I'm like 6'3", 6'4". I'm like 6'2", maybe 6'1".
So wait a minute. You say, I'm just keeping track here. You're fine. Quote, yeah. Fine with being my friend. And you liken me to Donald Trump in my approachability.
And Charlie Brown.
You know what it is? Okay.
We're going to wrap this up very soon.
Right. Trust me. The show's going to be, I told you guys, I'm warning you guys what you're in for. No, I'm pretty much going to be either the Trix Rabbit or the Cuckoo. What's the Cocoa Pebbles?
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Sunny, he has a name? Sunny wow, Van Pelt and Sunny.
Yeah. Wait.
Wait, how is his name Sunny?
I don't think Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, was he, he had
I'm
a name?
Sunny,
I know, because
yes.
I take my sugar cereals
Sunny,
very
seriously. Sunny the Cuckoo
That's
Bird.
That's insane
Sunny.
That you know that.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I'm not proud. It's the same thing. It just lives there like Van Pelt. I was just thinking the same thing when
Van
you said
Pelt,
Lucy.
Van Pelt, I respect. Yeah. But knowing,
excuse me.
I'm sorry. But you shouldn't know the name.
Do you know
no,
Captain Crunch's little sidekicks?
Sure.
Smedley.
The Soggies.
Oh, the Soggies. Well, I know Smedley's the elephant.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Well, Smedley was for Peanut Butter Crunch, wasn't he?
Maybe. And then Jim Backus did Captain's voice, right?
Okay.
Jim, wait. Okay. Am I ruining this show by rabbit holing you guys?
No. And this is a good, and by the way, we're going to play this for a neurologist later.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back. We're going to come back with your diagnosis and then we're going to get you on the right medicine.
Well, my whole point was that each cereal commercial starts the same. Like those guys try to be cool, calm, and collective about it. And then midway in the plot, then they lose their excitement and suddenly you realize you have a crazy person on your hand.
Yes.
So that's exactly, which is why I ask you, are these guys into microdosing at all or edibles? And
yeah. My answer was no, right?
What, your answer for yourself?
No, my answer was, yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
You're not into
it. I'm square that way, yes.
I burned myself out in my 30s. We talked about this on the way in today.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Next, all right, appearance number 4. I like the way that I'm already manifesting my, I want to be the Sandra Bernhardt to your Letterman. So,
trust me.
Wait, and also, am I alienating your demographic?
Who cares?
With all these old ass references?
No. Let me quickly ask you, what is your go-to kid cereal?
Peanut butter Captain Crunch all day.
It is fucking fantastic, that stuff. It is amazing.
Do you know about the history of cereal? Do you know why cereal was invented?
Was this the Kellogg Don't Masturbate stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a little bit familiar with this story, but since you began, go ahead.
Oh, that's all I basically know.
Yeah. Well, Kellogg's was a 7-day Adventist guy. He had a wife, and I guess even they slept in separate sleeping quarters. Right. They adopted their children.
Separate vaginas.
Yeah. Oh God! Am I going to get canceled after this appearance?
No. You're being canceled during the appearance.
So what happens is, I guess he feels as though the whatever is used to make beef, the whatever drugs are injected in the cow or the pig, whatever, that it's making America closer to that of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yep.
And so he figures that a vegetarian diet will cause us to stop procreating and fucking.
Yep.
And so he invents a tasty counterpart to stop us from masturbating, which is cornflakes. That's
Well, the original slogan for cornflakes was now with 30% less fucking. That's an actual... And it was, but it's true.
Can I work here?
Yeah. Yes, you can work here.
Wait,
take my job,
Higgins. Listen, Steve Higgins. Neither Steve Higgins nor Lauren Michaels believes me when I tell them that I want to intern at SNL. The only other person that I know that interned at SNL as a figure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Paul Thomas Anderson?
Yeah.
What?
Like 8 weeks or 9 weeks or whatever. I believe this is how him and Maya met, but
I've heard that he hung out there. I didn't know. I heard that he hung out there a lot. I don't know that he interned.
He did.
Well, and my guess is they didn't really make him do anything that a real intern would have to do.
Well, I mean, he didn't do much, so he's caught somewhere between intern. I don't think he was getting lunch, but
right.
You know, he asked someone that knew someone's like that. The guy that did Boogie Nights and wants to work here. And he's like, yeah, he does. And so he worked there for like half a year. And so I love working at 30 Rock.
Yep.
Well, one, I love working there and I love my job, but I just love watching the machinery, how things work.
Well, this is what I want to ask you, because I swear to God, my band was one of the main reasons I wanted to go to work every day. I think that all those years, and I'm not kidding, I kind of just wanted to be in the band. They had the better job. Do you sense that at all ever? Like,
absolutely.
You know,
because, okay, I think any other musician would see it as like, whatever, like, you guys reached a pinnacle or a mountaintop. Like, you made it to, you know, America's living room or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll say that at best, we as a unit, as a band, are our best when we're working out in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before the Tonight Show, I mean, the basic story of the Roots is that, you know, right out of high school, we started busking on street corners. Like around 91, 92.
You're playing like buckets, right?
Literally the fastest version of this like 9 hour story is, you know, my dad wanted me to go to either Curtis Institute. If you've seen, she just got nominated for Best Actress, Cate Blanchett.
Tar.
Oh, Tar, yeah.
So the institute that that built that woman, that's what my dad wanted for me. Good choice. Yeah, Curtis Institute is one like the most hardest, difficult musical.
Can I jump in 1 second and just say, this is interesting to me because your dad famously is part of this doo-wop band.
Yeah, my dad was like a Philadelphia doo-wop legend back in
Lee
the
Anderson
50s.
Yeah, Lee Anderson and the Hearts and killer doo-wop band. And it's interesting to me that your dad is pushing you towards this classical thing when he's from doo-wop.
So, okay, here's the thing about black people, especially with traumatized black people. We will always, like, because we're in a constant fight or flight situation, we're always going to choose safety first.
Right.
So in his mind, it was like, if you join sort of like an institution that's like classical music, and we're also big on like respectable politics, like, you know, wear a suit and tie, that sort of thing, then you'll get a good job. So in his mind, like, hey, you one day you too can make maybe $250,000 and, you know, that sort of thing. And in my mind, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I want to be the guy that owns the stadium that acts playing. Like, why are you dreaming so small for me and not for myself? So that's a whole nother story.
I get that, though. They worry about us. They do.
Yeah. And, dude, I grew up in the crack 80s where literally every 3 seconds someone's dying. So it's also a Russian roulette game that I, you know, my future was written. So that said, he wanted me to go to either Juilliard or Curtis. And so I trained as such, you know, for the first 6 years of my life, I went to one performing arts school and then they took me out during like middle school to early high school to go to this like this college prep thing that would have instantly made me like Harvard material. Mm-hmm. See, we could have been friends there or whatever. So
I didn't have friends there.
And that's the episode.
We're all laughing.
Yeah, well.
We're all laughing at you.
Look, wherever Charlie Brown goes, he's still fucking Charlie Brown. Nothing brings a family together like a large two-topping pizza. It's the perfect way to celebrate any occasion. This happens all the time at my house.
Yeah.
I say, kids, let's get together. Your father wants to tell you stories of his childhood. Nobody comes running, all right? But guess what? When I get one of those two large two-topping pizzas at Domino's, suddenly everybody wants to hear from Daddy. At Domino's, you can carry out large two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 for this week only. No limit on number of pizzas. You know, what toppings do you like? I like pepperoni.
I like pepperoni. I like olive. I like bell pepper. I like mushrooms. I know you don't like mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to out me as a no mushroom guy, but okay. Domino's Pizza. That's the way to get the whole family together. And this is a great deal. Visit Domino's.com or use the app to order your large two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary. Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where
California.
You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident, so are you. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching, you can go hiking in Yosemite, and then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want, they got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. Sona, what would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
Oh, I would buy a country.
Okay. I would buy just a ton of yachts and private jets, and I would duct tape them all together and then just have it go in a circle in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Yeah. I don't know, just to be a total jerk. Anyway, there is a correct answer.
Oh.
And it's build incredible cities in fantastical locations while competing with your friends to be the biggest tycoon in the world. What do you think of that answer?
That's better than mine.
Yep, and mine, which you can do with Monopoly Go, the hit mobile game that's so much fun, it's been downloaded over 150 million times. It's the fun of classic Monopoly on the go, anytime, anywhere, endless new surprises like tons of boards and crazy mini games. You can team up with your chums on community chess and tournaments to get big money, or you can go after their fortune changing rent on your properties or even pulling a bank heist on them. So much fun. It's incredible. So start building up your billions today. Go download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store and Google Play.
Okay, so there was a famous local dance show in Philadelphia called Dancing on Air. Kelly Ripa used to dance on the show. So this was sort of like our local soul train. So my best friend in the high school and I really like, I feel stupid saying fancied these two girls as if.
You fancied them. You know why you fancied them? Because it was 1882. And you had you put on your best celluloid collar and you bought her some posies and you fancied her. Did you have that bicycle with the giant front wheel?
And then I knew her on prom night. No, no, no. Sorry.
No, you ate your cereal.
Yeah.
To keep yourself innocent.
Yeah, the early seeds of being a sociopath. We wrote these girls, they would read like fan letters on the air and whatnot. And so we wrote our respective targets, and my target got back to me.
Uh-oh.
Right? My best friend's target did not get back to him. And I saw a moment where I could use this opportunity to my advantage. His target went to the High School of Creative and Performing Arts, which was basically the public version of the Fame School.
Yep, yep.
The LaGuardia School, if you have younger listeners, High School Musical. And so, dude, does he have younger listeners? Anyway.
Do I have younger listeners? Yes.
No.
We finally met a 48-year-old who loves the show.
Can I just ask one thing about Sana? Her laughter, I think the thing that attracts me to, that makes her the star of the show.
Yes.
Oh.
She has a Nelson-like
yes.
laughter.
Yep.
Like, she's laughing with us, but she's also kind of laughing at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. I'm laughing with you. I'm laughing at him.
Yes. She laughs at me, but she laughs with the people who are on the show.
I saw this as an opportunity, because I didn't want to go to the college prep school.
Right.
Even though I've been playing professionally with my father since I was a kid. My first gig was at Radio City Music Hall, like, at the age of 12.
And I know this story because his drummer, like, hurt his arm.
Motorcycle accident.
Yeah, yeah. And your dad said, hey, kid, get up there.
You know, and the show, right?
Yeah, and you were like, all right. And it's Radio City Music Hall.
Right. I wasn't nervous at all, but the sort of anecdote to that is that the second I got off stage, I wasn't and I'm band leading, like, adults, and I'm 12 years old.
Right.
And I'm band leading. But, you know, I could play like adult since I was 5. I get off stage and I walk backstage and this black woman says, oh, my God, young man, that was awesome. That was great. And I said, you're Susan from Sesame Street. Oh. She's like, indeed I am. My husband was playing keyboards. And I was like, yeah. And I threw her backstage.
You know, those Sesame Street people got that a lot.
I would do that now if I saw someone from Sesame Street. Yeah. I'd throw up.
Freak out. Yeah.
I've heard, correct me if I'm wrong, that your parents were allowed to watch two shows, Sesame Street and Soul Train.
Yeah. And I could only watch PBS and Soul Train.
Which is a pretty cool combination.
Well, they were really strict on anti-television. I made the hard mistake once. It was to the point, you know, like, it was postmodern times, and they were pretty much like, he might be impressionable. And this was the era of, like, you know, Elmer Fudd just taking a gun and blowing your face off, and then you put a new face on and that
right,
sort of thing.
Right.
And they didn't want me to be impressionable. And there is another product placement. Here you go. There is a Hawaiian Punch commercial. In which, you remember, Punchy.
Sure.
Is hopping down the block with a bunch of fruit. And then he goes up to the unsuspecting tourist and he's like, hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch? He's like, sure. And he just, you know, hits him. So I went to my mother and was like, Mom, just say sure when I ask you a question.
Oh, no.
And she's like, huh? I said, Mom, is this been? Okay. So I'm saying, how you say sure? Okay. Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch? My mom said, sure. And let's just do the sitcom flip thing. We'll skip the...
Did you punch your mom?
I beat the shit out of my mom by accident.
Jesus! He's a kid! He's a little kid!
How old were you?
38.
I think I was 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah.
So then, no more television.
No more television.
Oh. So, but thankfully, I grew up in a house with about 3,000 albums. So... And 3 very distinct record collectors. So all I knew was music, and I was allowed to watch music programs, which is also weird because my parents are nightclub entertainers.
Yep.
And they didn't believe in babysitters. So thus, I had to go to work with them. Even though my bedtime was like 8:30 as a kid, as a 3, 4, 5-year-old, they would wake me up at midnight or 12:30, and I'd watch like the second performance on SNL in Philadelphia, Soul Train was not a 12 in the afternoon experience. It was a 1 a.m., depending on the cultural sensitivity of whoever the programming director was. Put this on at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning. So that's how Soul Train to me is a 1 a.m. after SNL experience. So
back then, it's very hard to describe, but you watched what was on. But I remember like Soul Train would come on and be like, I'm watching this. And, you know, here I am, this little red-haired girl watching in Boston with a bowl haircut.
Wait, you're Frida, the little red-haired girl.
Yeah, I am.
Her natural-born curly hair.
Yeah, it wasn't curly. But I would just watch Soul Train, and my brothers would come in, and we're like, this is what's happening. And, you know, man, Don Cornelius is cool. He looks like the coolest guy in the world.
So, yeah, I was allowed to watch it. Anyway, we rabbit holed. I told my parents I want to play with musicians my own age, and... You know, I want to go to this school, which to them, you know, to tell your parents you want to go to a public school and that sort of thing after they've done invested in like the best education to get you in, you know, this institution. You know, it was a Hail Mary throw, but they fell for it. The plan was that I was going to find that girl for my best friend at our old school so that she could be his date for the junior prom.
You're a good friend.
I was a great friend. I still don't know why a high school student would occasionally work in the office. Like, I don't know how that works, but it was her job to hand out school tokens. We would get like free bus tokens to get back because we didn't have like a school bus system. And so I was standing in line, and in front of me was kind of like a Dreamweaver moment, like where the prettiest girl in school, like another girl, totally unrelated, was talking about music, which instantly like my ears were pricked, and she made a wrong Prince reference. And I'm the human version of hashtag, well, actually.
Oh, no.
You remember on the Smurfs when Brainy would say, well, actually, and then seconds later, they tossed him in the trash can.
Yes.
I was that guy. I was like, well, actually, that was a B-side, a Japanese import B-side, which is longer than the album version. No.
You're Linus.
Right. Like, the four girls just looked at me like, no one asked you. I was just trying my hardest to, like, impress them with anything. That probably maybe 2 months later, I interjected myself again in a conversation I shouldn't have. And I said, well, no, it was that song because, you know, we sampled that last night. And they're like, sample where? I was, you know, at the studio. And it's like, who? I said, me and my group. Who's in your group? And literally, the way that Tariq and I met, like, is somewhere between, like, A Tale of Two Cities and... Yeah.
Right. You know what? Can I just say something? This is a common sitcom plot.
Yeah.
Of, yeah, I got to impress the girl. You're chatting. You get in over your head. You say, my group. Your group? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in the studio. We want to see you play. Sure, next week. And then you run down the hall. We got to form a band.
That is literally how I'm in this chair right now. So,
oh my God.
Now the thing was, Tariq really had an insane gift for talking off the top of his head.
Uh-huh.
I knew that he had a gift for doing that. And he just happened to walk by. And I was like, with him. So then I went to the next two periods of class, like in orchestra. And somewhere in orchestra class, I thought about it. I said, nah, I got to warn him. Put like Flight of the Bumblebee in here, like. And the lunchroom is on the eighth floor. Uh-huh. I'm in the basement. So literally, oh, sorry, lady. Excuse me. Like,
just. Watch it there. Were two guys carrying a plate of glass?
Right.
And you missed it. And then someone else walked through it.
I ran to the cafeteria. And I was like, yeah, if anyone asks, we're a group. And he was literally cool. Okay. And that is how the Roots were born.
That's so fantastic.
We're also in school the same time that Boys to Men are becoming Boys to Men. It's literally like they're in the bathroom harmonizing and, you know, they won every contest. They would like cheat and put like glitter in their hands and do something like that. And girls would be like, and I'm like, no. Like Nate cheats in calculus class, like you're falling for that. Like all I have to do is have some glitter in my hand and do that Michael Jackson three-handed point thing.
Yep.
Do a bunch
of
that.
Let me tell you something. I did it for a while in my monologue on the late night show. Killed every time. It works in comedy too.
So at that time, if you were an extra on a unmentionable Philadelphia comedy icons number one rated show, you went to the school.
Right.
every person who's a jazz god now went to the school. So we were like invisible. And even with the pedigree of like, yeah, I've been playing with my dad since I was 5 years old. My first gig was at Radio City. Like, first day of school, Miles Davis is in my school picking one of the kids to be his new keyboard player because one of his guys has a drug habit and has to go to rehab. So you'll fill in Joey sure. DeFrancesco at the age of 16. Like, that's just how it was. So we graduated, and now it's like, well, okay, I guess I got to live my dad's dream and audition for Juilliard. So I auditioned for the new school and for Juilliard in around like 92. Tariq just, you know, it was a free trip to New York, so he comes with me. We're on a train ride back home, and this is somewhere out of either a Grey Poupon commercial or that last scene in Dumb and Dumber. The world's most beautiful woman. It's always a beautiful woman behind this thing. Uh-huh. And it's a slow motion walk.
Yep.
To me. Now, here's the thing. The previous year is when Boyz II Men started to blow up. They came out the box with a single called Motown Philly. And of course, they're, you know, calling up their high school friends. Hey, be in the video, whatever. So they asked me to play drums in that video. So I milked those 1.9 seconds. Wait, let me rephrase it. Tariq milked those 1.9 seconds because literally, like, after the video became like heavy rotation on MTV, we'd be ready to go out for whatever. And he'd just look at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? He's like, come on, man, put the shirt on. I was like, come on, dude.
Oh, like the same shirt?
Yes.
That
entire
to.
Summer, I had to dress in the exact outfit that I was.
Yo, the way you did.
The way your staff was.
No, it's true. I'd have had a t-shirt made that would say, or I'd wear a hat that say, yes, I'm that guy from 1 minute, 32 seconds.
The entire summer of 1991, I'd have to put on the hoodie, that dingy ass t-shirt, those Oshkosh Bagosh thing, and walk up and down South Street. We would do like 9 rotations. And, you know, wait, ain't you there? Oh my God, that's what I'm doing. And Tariq would take their numbers down and everything. And that's literally like our social, you know, the way your staff is holding their hearts right now.
Yep.
I feel like such a dweeb. Anyway.
Not at all.
Anyway, so it's a year later, and nothing is more painful than the slow, dim fade of, like, Al Bundy's always bragging about those, like, 4 touchdowns at Polk High. Like, I didn't want to become that guy, but suddenly I noticed, like, oh, the magic's not working anymore. Like, it's not working.
There's no glitter in my hand anymore.
Right. So the world's most beautiful woman walks up to me and Tariq, and she's like, you're the drummer in the Spike Lee Levi's commercial, right? Now, there was a guy, there's a bucket drummer, the guy that pioneered the idea of when you see street musicians bucket right. drumming. His name is Chocolate. He's from D.C. He moved to New York, and he was, you know, playing buckets and whatnot. And Spike Lee saw him and put him in a Levi's. So now he's the new drummer of the moment. Like, he's in the Mariah Carey video, and I'm a little jealous. Like, oh, damn.
You're like, those are buckets.
I got to find a new drummer. So she's like, are you the drummer in the Spike Lee Levi's commercial? And I was like, no, oh. I'm not.
That's where you and I are different.
Yeah. Yeah. And you.
I'd have said, yes, I am.
And you are Black Thought of the Roots. And just,
I am Tariq.
And
yeah.
just like that commercial in Dumb and Dumber, she's like, oh, okay. And she walks back and got off the next stop. And Tariq was just like, I felt the you asshole, Brandon.
Idiot.
He kept riding the whole time, calling up people. And next day, we crash in my parents' crib, living room. Next day, Soul Train's on. The commercial's on. And then that becomes like our Doc Brown flex capacitor sitcom sort of like.
You look at each other and
why
go.
Why don't we do that? Yes. Like, literally, that commercial came on. It's like, well, why don't we do that? And literally an hour later, like we're and grabbing buckets and everything, sneaking out. And we went on South Street. If we didn't make $120, then it would have been a one-time only thing. But in like 2 hours, like, we're rich. And our whole thing was like, 60 for you, 60 for me. This is date night money. You can buy a quarter pound of turkey, some bread, steal some condiment packages, and that's a date. you know, make your own sandwich. Yes, we go to like the park or whatever, and here, have some lunch meat.
Oh my God.
That line never worked for me.
It's the way you say it.
How'd you like some lunch meat?
No, no.
It never worked.
The way you say it.
If you're from Philadelphia, if you're from the tri-state, Wawa is a religion. So for $5, you can buy like a half gallon of lemonade, a whole bunch of turkey meat, some pepper jack cheese, some bread, and still the condiments. And
okay, I'm writing this down.
Right.
Me now at my age. Yeah. Excuse me there, young lady. Questlove has given me the following lists, and I have all these items.
Right. So you would do that. No, and that was like romantic. And movies were cheap back then. If you see it before 6 p.m., you can see the matinee for like, you know, whatever, $2.50. Sure. That was date night money. So we were like, hell yeah, we're doing this again. Told my friend about it the next week. And he's a bass player in my jazz class. And he's like, well, you guys going to do it again? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, can I join you guys? Sure. Now, he drives. I didn't drive. He drives with the station wagon, his dad's station wagon. He shows up, and he has his upright bass in the back, and I'm getting my buckets. He's like, well, dude, I got the station wagon, so get your real drums. And I was like, oh, man, my dad will kill me. I can't do that. He's like, well, he's not home. I said, yeah, you're right. So I snuck, you know, very stealth operation of loading my drums in the station wagon, and that's literally how the Roots were born.
This is your origin story. You know, I just want to comment on really quickly, because throughout the course of you telling that story, the range, variety of your references is mind-blowing, because...
For a guy that didn't watch television.
Clearly you did, or something happened.
Well, I made up for it.
Yeah, you made up for it.
I made up
for
it.
But I'm, you know, to me, what really speaks to is that you're drawing on so much. You're drawing on so much. I feel like you have no boundaries in a great way.
I was like, wait a minute. Don't send me to HR.
No. Not those no boundaries. Trust me, you're in a safe space here. What I'm talking about is, are you guys picking up on the same thing?
Yeah,
which
from Flight of the Bumblebee to Al Bundy.
Yeah.
It's Flight of the Bumblebee, Al Bundy, Grey Poupon, this guy from a cereal commercial. Do you know this historical reference? It's all over the map, which I think is, I don't know, I just find it, I challenge our listeners to go back and listen to this again and plot it. And it's almost like there's no connection and also 1,000 connections. It's really cool.
Yeah, rewind the 3 hours of that story. Wait a minute. I don't even think the origin story was what led me here. Why? Who's the rabbit hole remember?
What?
I told this story. Okay, so here's the deal. About late night.
Yeah.
Whew, damn, I'm good. Okay. So because 92 was kind of the... I hate giving biblical references, but I mean, that's kind of hip hop's biting of the apple when they saw that they were naked. Pretty much, Dr. Dre released The Chronic, which was kind of the first time that a credible person of pedigree in hip hop did big numbers.
Yep.
I mean, you know, nothing against Hammer or Vanilla Ice or whoever like was selling by the millions, but it was sort of like, okay, that's not what we listen to. You know, that sort of thing, or he's not that good.
You're saying Vanilla Ice didn't invent hip hop?
No, well, he didn't.
I've been sold a bill of goods here.
Rewind the tape. Let's see.
I'm certain he did.
You two would know.
Matt and I.
Yes.
Hey, Questlove, we're sorry.
Yes.
But Matt and I are quite certain that Ice Baby was really the beginning of hip-hop.
I cannot believe, and I say that with no contractions, I cannot believe that is true.
Even Eduardo is horrified right now.
I'm going to tell you something.
There are two Ices in his name.
It's a thing. It's a legal thing. If you have two Ices, you're the inventor of hip-hop.
It's like 007. He earned those kills.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. As a DJ that is definitely logged in, probably, you know, my Gladwellian 10,000 hour thing is probably in the sevens now. I'm probably DJ 70 hours.
So you say. Okay.
But, yeah, we now live in a post-irony age where I can play Ice Baby right now, and it's as if I played Smells Like Teen Spirit or like a song that you love. Like, this is my song. But, you know, you could have get shot for that shit like back in 93 at a house party. So anyway, so it's like because of that moment where hip hop realized, oh, commerce, we can make. And, you know, every culture goes through this. This is not just hip hop where it's like, do you do art from your heart, or do you got to survive? And again, I already told you about fight or flight and the need to survive. So, of course, everyone followed suit, and there was just a whole giant rush to make it. And so, as a result, that left to center weirdo hip hop train left the station. The train that De La Soul was on, and A Tribe Called Quest and Arrested Development and Digable Planets, they left the station. We had to wait there at the platform for another 5 years. Had we stayed in America, we wouldn't have made it. So thus, we called it pulling a Hendrix. So the way that we kind of pulled a Hendrix is also an epic. I noticed you didn't ask one question yet, so am I taking over this interview?
I've left the room 3 times.
Okay, fine.
And I got all those ingredients that you gave me. I went to a Ralph's. But let me just say to our listeners, just pulling a Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix wasn't making it here, and went to London in like 66.
Yeah.
And teamed up with two white guys with funny haircuts and became Jimi Hendrix and the Experience. And there he blew up.
Came back a god. Right.
Came back a god.
He went to the gym to work out and came back a god. So we signed the Geffen because their success with Guns N' Roses, with Nirvana, and with Aerosmith. And by the time the Top of 94 comes, Aerosmith leaves Geffen to go back to Columbia. It's very obvious that Guns N' Roses is not going to have a follow-up record in the next 2 or 3 decades.
Yes. Axel had to take his time and really work it out.
Right. And so April of 94, my manager calls me up, and this is like early in the morning, and he's like, dude, we're fucked. And I was like, what? He's like, you didn't hear what happened? I was like, no. He's like, turn on. And literally, Kurt Loder is announcing that Kurt Cobain killed himself.
Yeah.
And my manager mind, he's like, wait, there's no more Guns N' Roses or Aerosmith and now Nirvana, the three pillars that are financially holding that label up.
Right.
And he's like, we're going to get dropped from this label before it even starts, because they didn't have a black department or a rap department. And so it was like, okay, what do we got to do? What do we got to do to survive? So we did something that's almost akin to, if you remember, in Ghost, when like Whoopi Goldberg.
I never know what's coming.
No, me either.
It's so fascinating. Every time you say, okay, you know how I don't know if it's going to be a chocolate milk commercial, an Eisenhower reference, but now we're in Ghost.
Yes.
And so what happens in Whoopi
you
Goldberg?
You remember when Patrick Swayze tells Whoopi Goldberg to go to the bank and you're going to, you know, he's giving her instructions. She's shutting the accounts down.
Yep.
So we kind of had a similar situation. There is
also, that's a scene from Ghost that nobody references. It's not the making of the pot with Demi Moore. It's, you know, the part in Ghost. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The sexy scene. No. The bank transaction. You know, the bank transaction from Ghost. No.
So
no, I don't.
What it was that. So we were like, we're going to get dropped. So we have to make a move. We found a loft to live in at London.
Yep.
And that's where we worked out at the gym. So we did this for 18 years. I mean, people will say like, oh, you guys were the fish of hip hop, the Grateful Dead of hip hop. But it's like we were dependable and responsible.
Yeah.
So our job was to stand by in the waiting room. And then it was good survival, but it really wasn't conducive for like having a steady relationship.
Yeah.
Their kids in the factor now. And, you know, so we, around like 2009, it was sort of like, man, we wish like a Celine Dion situation would happen
a residency.
Yeah.
You want a residency.
And so we just got to the mountaintop of like making good money. Like, we finally made it. And it's like, do we just turn our back on this and try something unproven? And we did it. I will say that for us, that was what we needed to actually bond and be friends again. There is a moment. I know I'm loquacious. Give me a safe word like pineapple or something if I'm talking too much. Oh. Like, I see you're turning maroon right now.
I'm good.
That's his normal color.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's just me. When you see, those are called veins in my head.
Okay,
that's how white I am.
So there's a moment that happened around 2006, maybe 3 years before we did Fallon, and we're on tour with the Chili Peppers, and it's a European tour, and they're playing like soccer stadium. I'm sorry, post lasso football stadiums.
Right.
And, you know, it's like 80,000 to 120,000 a night. And every 3 to 4 songs, those guys get into sort of a football magic circle huddle. And by the fourth time they do this, I'm thinking like, oh, they're going to call an audible and change up the set list. And then they go back to their instruments. And then I have the set list in my hand. I'm like, wait, they didn't change anything. They didn't change the arrangement. So I'm waiting like days down the line. Like, why do they keep having these little meetings every like 5 songs and nothing changes from what I know the show to be? It's like muscle memory. And so I see Flea in catering, and I'm like, dude, what are you guys talking about when you go into that huddle? And Flea's like, yo, man, it's like, I don't know, man. We're so full of gratitude. Like, we're just 4 guys that, you know, we met each other when we were 13, and, you know, we're in the da-da-da stadium with 120,000 people, and we're just showing gratitude to each other. Like, guys, we really made it. So this is 2006. I'm not evolved yet as a human being. So I get on the tour bus, and I'm like, yo, man, the motherfuckers just like, you know, hippie shit, like, oh, we're so happy to be amongst, you know, like, I'm really just like, being dismissive of it. Like, that's what they're doing. And my manager's like, yeah, well, makes sense. Like, yeah, I can see that because they like each other. That's cool. I was like, yeah, you know. So I go back and start playing place. Wait, what do you mean they actually like each other? And he's like, I see that. They actually, I mean, it's not like a Goodfellas thing. Like, what do you mean I'm funny? But it was sort of like, well, what do you mean they actually like each other? Like, why'd you say actually? He's like, you see the chemistry. Like, they actually, they fuck with each other. I can see that. And I was like, as opposed to what? He's like, come on, man. And I was like, as opposed to what? He's like, come on, man. Don't make me spell it out. I said, what? He said, man, y'all don't fuck with each other. Y'all just show up. Maybe y'all come to sound check. Y'all show up at backstage. Y'all do it off memory. You know, you're the one that named the tour buses Gryffindor and Slytherin. Like, you, it's like, you got your own separate tour buses. Y'all don't spend the night at each other's houses. Y'all ain't friends. Y'all just business partners. He's like, it's cool. Like, keep the
peace.
That's
funny that you didn't know. You didn't know.
Well, I thought, look, by that point, we had known each, like, we met in 87, and it's now 2007. Like, it's 20 years later. Like, what do you mean we're not friends? And then I realized, oh, shit, we're really not friends. Like, we're just, like, 9 strangers that just play the same songs every night, and that's it. And so what wound up happening at Fallon is Jimmy has a way of disarming you. And I'll say, at least for the first 6 years, like, we were perpetual. We were 13-year-olds. We were 13-year-olds in adults' bodies doing, we could do silly things and not feel like, you know, like, oh, we're going to lose our street cred because we're doing silly shit. And that helped. That really helped. There's a moment where when Jimmy officially pitched us, we're doing like some spring fling at UCLA or something. And I'm quasi spokesperson for the group. And so I had to do an interview like with a college paper or something. So I went in the trailer, did my interview, came back 20 minutes later, and we're on UCLA's football field. And Jimmy, all right, this is going to be my worst reference. And I'm in my head like, please don't say this reference.
Can we just take a guess around the table what this is going to be first?
You go first.
I'm going to say,
Saved by the Bell. Hint. No, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Willie Ames.
Oh, Zapped? Or Charles
good one.
In Charge?
God damn, you're good.
Zapped?
This is why Matt's the man.
Yeah, Zapped, the movie where Scott Baio can make people's bras fly off.
It's either that or Charles in Charge or Bible Man.
Where he first started, which was Eight is Enough.
Eight is Enough.
Okay.
So Jimmy somehow has talked the Roots into doing an 8-man human period.
Pyramid.
A like, period.
A human period I don't know as much about. Anyone want to weigh in?
Oh,
God.
I guess stick with pyramid.
I have to. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, they're doing a human pyramid, and it wouldn't have fazed me more But Tariq and I are such polar opposites of each other by this point. Tariq is one of those, like, you know, $5,000 Japanese denim wearing fashionistas.
Yeah.
Of which I was like, yo, he's really on the bottom row on his knee. Like, he's ruining his denim. He would never do this. He's one of those Jesus Christ, like, not spot nor wrinkle. Meanwhile, yep. I will go to the White House with, like, mustard stains on my tux. And I looked at my manager and I was just like, we're not getting rid of this guy anytime soon, right? And my manager was just like, we're stuck with him. Like, literally, yeah. Jimmy would not let up until we committed to him, and he just just did it. And so what I'll say is, now the amount of being in the gym on that show has actually made us friends again.
Yeah.
And so now I feel like, even though this is our 30th year as a band, I really feel like it's like our 7th year.
Okay, you freaks, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, and delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Right,
yeah,
guys?
That's what I think about all the time.
That's all I think about. I'm a real whiz. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. It just does.
Yeah.
Words.
So to reduce, what's that?
Words.
Yeah, exactly. That helped. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. You knew where I was going with this, right?
Yeah, I do. Please tell us what NetSuite is.
I shall. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system. It brings accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one, count them, one platform and one source of truth.
Yeah.
By bringing all your major business processes into one platform, you will not only improve efficiency, you'll also cut costs. Yep. NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. That's why they call it the cloud. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. If you're not doing it, you should too. Hey, so do the math. That sounds aggressive. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Wow. Head to netsuite.com/Conan. netsuite.com/Conan. One more time if you weren't listening. netsuite.com/Conan. Hey, Sona, do you settle for ordinary in your own home?
No.
Well, you kind of do. Anyway, with Floor and Decor, you don't have to put up with rooms that just look meh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Meh is kind of a phrase these days. Floor and Decor doesn't just have a couple of aisles of options. It's an entire store with the largest selection of tile, wood, and stone in stock and available in job lot quantities. Mm. That's what I need, job lot quantities. And if you're a pro like me, Floor and Decor also has a job site delivery, along with all the brands pros trust for installation. There's also design experts in the store to help you find the right look at the right price. And guess what? It's free.
That's my favorite price.
Free is the best price, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless it's for food. And then I'm like, oh, I'm about to pay a little.
No, I like free food too.
Well, it can be scary. Anyway, we got off track. You can resist the ordinary and find more ways to wow with Floor and Decor.
We're probably the only people in history that got sent to HR on our first day on the gig. All right. So if your listeners are, everyone knows what HR is. I know what your demographics are.
I don't. I have no idea who's listening. I have no idea what. I know none of this.
One of the funniest stories that came from the ghost of Conan's late night show was. They brought all the roots to HR. It's like, don't be alarmed, guys. You didn't do anything. But, you know, we kind of want to get in front of the train. So they said to me, and I don't even know if I should be saying this. So I guess the thing that they wanted to stop was, I guess Weinberg was world famous for making interns do his shopping for him.
Okay.
Am I lightly putting it?
Sure. I didn't know that. You know, I was insulated like Nixon.
No, like it crimes was, were committed.
You compared yourself to Nixon
in a good way.
Of all yeah. people,
in the way he yeah. insulated himself.
Yeah. No, well, they,
no, I meant Cynthia Nixon. Oh. Not Richard Nixon. The way she insulated herself from some of the problems they had on Sex and the City.
No, it was like, it went from, first it was like, super, you know, like, take our lunch order to, I need you to, I guess his wife lived in Jersey, like, drive out to Jersey, go with my wife to do shopping, like, supermarket shopping. And then it went to, like, mowing his lawn. Then
eventually it went to light construction.
No, that was next. No, I'm not lying. It went to painting. So literally by the end uh-huh. of the run, Max had like six interns that were just like staff at his house.
Should I not be clipping Conan's toenails then?
Again, oh please.
And so they just said, look, guys, just please keep it to lunch orders only.
Well, listen, that Major Deegan Expressway got built, and I thank Max and those 35 interns. Well, you were there, Blay. You want to weigh in on anything? Because you know me, like Cynthia Nixon, I was insulated.
You know,
that's enough. Thank you.
Yeah. Good point.
Good point. I think we put that to bed. Well, I'm glad that you...
I love you, Max. I'm not throwing you under the bus.
No. The construction they did was fantastic. It's infrastructure, and we need infrastructure.
But you don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Insulated like Cynthia Nixon on Sex and the City.
Mm. Yes. All right, now can we start the theme to the... No, I'm playing.
Can I just ask you, and then we probably have to wrap it up. What do we have to do, Adam, at some point?
And I at least ensured that I can come back again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have no idea.
I want to work here, man.
Yeah. You have no idea. Questlove.
This is so nice.
Questlove, you are coming back.
You're a chill chum.
Yeah. And also, I...
We can microdose next time.
Yeah, we can microdose. Yeah. And you could bring some other people and...
Great.
I have a driveway that I need paved.
Okay, man.
I'm on it.
Well, wait a minute. I do have to wrap up something about, like, are people actually your friends on the show? So the thing is that my new New York Times crossword puzzle is actually Wordle. But...
Oh, me too.
Oh, I do Wordle too, yeah.
Are you on a group?
No. I don't get... I'm insulated.
Oh, yeah, it's your choice.
I feel like you and I should campaign.
Shut up, Sona. Shut up. Let's pretend it's my choice that I'm insulated. Anyway, go ahead.
You and I should campaign to fight to get into Bateman's illustrious Wordle Club. Like,
what?
It's like Jason Bateman and...
Wait, you want more time with Jason Bateman?
Wait,
we have a different agenda, so I can't help you here.
Let me not open up another rabbit hole. No, but what I do is I make playlists for my friends.
This is crazy because this is what I wanted to ask you about,
Okay. Which
is you make these playlists, and you make them for your friends, but you make them for some of the most famous people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, Barack Obama...
It started with the Obamas.
Asked you to make a playlist for him.
Yeah.
Do you ever throw something in there, like the theme from Gilligan's Island, just something that's going to freak him out?
Oh, I do that all the time. Like, the amount of... He doesn't question much. There's a few people who are like, did you really mean to put this version of that song on there? Like, I will lightly troll. I'm not trying to troll more than I'm just trying to expand the palette.
Yep.
Because I think oftentimes when it comes to streaming... There are billions of songs out there, but we're only going to go to the 32 songs that we know.
Yes.
And I'm willing to do the musical metaphorical equivalent of the Shawshank shit crawl and go through. I go through about 500 songs a week, of which maybe seven are cool, and add that to the database. And these are songs that I believe in, like... Not like Desert Island Disc, but like I co-sign the song. And every part of the song has to be like something that, yeah, this is a great song. And yeah, it started with the Obamas. And then I added the Carters. I wanted to add people that just had kids. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, when Blue Ivy was born, I was like, okay, I want you to play this like in her crib or in her nursery, whatever. And then, because if you can reach a kid before six, you can really determine their creativity.
What I love about this is that when you do this, you are in a very intimate way in the ear of a Barack Obama. You're like creating new neural pathways
yes.
by throwing in a Trixer for Kids commercial really quickly. You're fucking with
full circle.
You're screwing with the mind of a president of the United States, which is fascinating to me.
I believe that music is sort of nourishing like food, and the right song could inspire you to. So I do two types of playlists. I do an afternoon playlist that should be played between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. And then I do an evening playlist between 6. And that doesn't mean like, hey, baby, Quiet Storm music. It's not that. Mm-hmm. But I do an evening set. So it started with them, and then it was 10, and then it was the 50. So I think right about now I am.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of scrolling.
I text 700. There's the list of people. You might know some of the names.
Is Vanilla Ice on there?
Oh, my God.
There's no Robbie Van Winkle.
Okay.
Oh, man. I'm adding Vanilla Ice. I can't believe I'm holding your list, and this is the most impressive list of names. I want to respect people's privacy.
No, it's.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, just say it.
No. Spike Lee is in here.
Yeah.
Which is, and you got Bill Hader.
Yeah, Bill is a music head. I'll say that of my top 30, like, responding people, like, people that actually, like, give feedback, like, wow, this song really changed my life in 1932. Right. And I'll be like, I'm on the tour later, something like that. But, nah.
Kenan Thompson's in here.
Yep.
Rashida Jones.
Yep.
Nora Jones. This is amazing. Martha Stewart. Jesus.
Yeah. Martha is.
She's come a long way.
Yeah, no, she's.
She's amazing.
That's my love language. So my question is, will you be 342?
You bet I will. I would be honored. I would be honored to be on this list. This is such a cool list of people.
There you go.
This is absolutely, wow. Ron DeSantis.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm surprised to see that name, but I'm glad you're working on the guy.
For like 2.3 seconds. I was like, wait, how did he get on?
I would love it. I would love it if Ron DeSantis was like, you know, when I'm shipping unsuspecting immigrants to Nantucket,
yeah.
I like to calm down occasionally with Questlove's playlist. This is so cool.
So
yes,
great.
Please put me on this.
Right.
Please.
This means that we're going to have to actually be friends now.
Yeah.
So,
have
all right.
To.
So, does he know what to do?
I know what to do.
He's gonna check with me to make sure his phone number is right. Yeah. He'll know.
I change my phone number a lot, constantly.
No, he doesn't.
I don't trust people that change their numbers that much.
I don't change it a lot. That's my excuse for.
Do you have that one professional in which you have to have like blah, 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 new, blah, 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 three?
You know,
blah,
it was
blah,
true.
Four?
There was an era in my life in the 90s when I had like a regular, you know, before these phones, like a flip phone. Where my number kept getting out there, and fraternities would call me.
Oh. You know?
But it was always, they were always upbeat. They were always like, dude, is this Conan O'Brien? And like an idiot.
Who would
be,
give your number away?
I don't know. And I would it would be me. No, they would give my number away, and then they would call me, and I'd hear cheering in the background, and I had some pretty good conversations.
I'll bet you did.
Is someone writing your name like in a bathroom stall or something like that? Or well,
they are now.
Yeah. For a good time call.
For a lame time.
This is, you know, I am, by law, I must end this at some point. But this has been absolutely a treat. This is really, no, seriously, you've been.
Thank you.
You are hilarious, and also this has been like a thrill ride of where are we going next, and it's been so much fun.
No, it's not hyperbole or anything. Like, when I say that this podcast literally, of all the podcasts I listen to, like, during the pandemic, and especially during that period in which, like, you didn't know if you were coming or going.
Yeah.
You know, some of us had a lot of safety. Guy like me had safety, but I still had, like, a death every 2 weeks. Yeah. And I mean real death, like I got to pay for the funeral, I got to pay for the hospital card, that sort of thing. The level of escapism that this podcast brought me. Like, if one day when 10 years pass and you talk about like my pivot, especially doing a whole new medium, directing movies and all that stuff, mm-hmm. like what kept you saying, Amir, like the Pharrell, the Will Ferrell podcast? Mm-hmm. Oh God, the rabbit hole that episode led to. But no, literally just the things that I learned on every episode is like,
right.
This is one of my,
well, that makes me, it makes
one
me
of my
happy.
Life achievement moments, and I'm not even exaggerating. So
well,
I thank you for
it. Listen, two things before we go. Thank you for saying that. We were glad to be there for you, all three of us.
Oh God, I hate saying
that. You want to take that in there, Eduardo? Guys, like,
but also,
yes, oh, no, I no. am.
But here's something else. You're, whether you want to or not, you're coming back.
Yes.
And
thank
I'm going
to
ask you, I think I asked one question this time, and I'll ask you one question next time. And by over time.
Well, you know everything, so we're really friends now. So we can.
Yeah. You're on the playlist.
You're on the playlist. Yes.
Yes, you
made
it.
I'm on the playlist.
You've made it. And but the thing is that when you travel, like, come on, dog. You got to.
Thank you.
When you travel, yes. man, like the Harlem Globetrotter-esque magic circle way that you guys operate.
Yep.
That's needed.
Yep.
Like, I want a Barack Obama episode.
Yeah.
Where,
guess what? Secret Service, don't
no.
they don't clear
no.
it.
No.
They do not clear
no.
it. You have a criminal record.
I've never been caught
There's
with
you,
my stealing.
You have a criminal record.
I don't have
You've
a
admitted
criminal
to
record.
Stealing.
That, just
you try
I
and get
it.
Into a room with Barack Obama, and that's not going to happen.
I've been in a room, but just far from him.
Yes.
And I haven't been able
Trust
to
me,
touch
that was,
him.
That was not my call.
You don't understand the people he call. Kept us from when he went back to New York.
Yeah.
It was almost going to be you. Thank God you came out here.
It's not me.
I was angry.
Yes. It is.
Not me.
Yes, it is.
Oh, really? And who's going to pay for these flights with all your demands? I need 7 hotel rooms for the 35 Armenian Greeks that are coming with me.
How dare you?
How dare you? True or not true?
True. Yeah.
Questlove, thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. I didn't put my hand up to say silence, Sona.
Yes, you did.
I put
yes,
it up,
but
I
was
put it up
in.
To say yes. shut up! Yes. Which is different than silence. Shut up!
You didn't so much do talk to the hand as shut up to the hand.
Shut up to the hand. We got to wrap this thing up. Yeah. Questlove, please come back soon and
yes.
come back often.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because we have a lot to talk about. And get me that music, God
yes,
damn it.
Yes, I will bombard you with the best music.
And then I'm going to send you my playlist, and no, you will never no. stop throwing
heaven
up.
Help us all. Thank
Button
you, guys.
Button up your overcoat when the wind blows free. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. Hody, hody, ho. Eat an apple
Does
every day.
Does it work to this way? Does it work the
You know what
way?
I love? My quest, my list I'm going to send to Questlove is that song, and then raindrops keep falling, and then again, button up your overcoat.
No BJ Thomas slander.
All right, peace out.
Thank you.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.